is the text of Jesus as he is being attacked by the Pharisees yet again. This seems to be a common thing for the Lord because he is he's not following their protocol. He's not following their idea of what the Messiah was going to be. And because he does not fit their image, they are opposed to him and attack him at every opportunity. Jesus knows that he is from God. He knows that God is his Father. They reject that. So Jesus is pointing out very clearly where their Father is and who their Father is. Have you ever been forced to deal with a liar? Huh? I'm talking a liar. Liars are no fun because you can't trust them. You don't know when they're telling the truth or not. And that's the problem with liars. They don't always lie. Sometimes they tell the truth. So it's very confusing dealing with somebody that is a habitual liar. Now, there are people who lie so much they can't tell the truth from a lie. But most people who lie simply lie when they think it is necessary. In Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 5, we read the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a possession. They saw Barnabas sell a possession. He brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet to help with the necessities in Jerusalem, as all these Christians who are there from all parts of the world are not going home. They're staying in Jerusalem, being taught and growing in their faith in Christ and fellowship with one another. And so there's a great need for money for these people, for food, for shelter. And so Barnabas is a fairly wealthy man, so he has a piece of land. He sells it, brings the money, gives it to the apostles to help with this. Well, Ananias and Sapphira want to get in on that. And they want, you know, people, I know people were saying Barnabas is a great guy. What a wonderful fella. We want in on that. So they have a piece of land. They sell it. They decide among themselves, you know, this we get this for this land, but we're only going to give this much, and we're going to let it be understood that that's all we got for it. Well, we sold this land. We took a big loss on this land. We got gypped so bad, but this is what we got, and here you go. And use this to help, you know, with the needs. And they knew that they were lying. They knew that they were keeping back part of the money and letting folks think that's all they got for it. Boy, Peter confronted him. Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have lied not, you have not lied to men, but to God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. Lying seems to be a part of life. Y'all remember Pinocchio? What's the story of Pinocchio? What's his situation? Well, he's a wooden boy. He's a puppet. Giuseppe is his maker. He carves his boy, and he doesn't have a boy of his own. And he just, oh, he's so sad. He wants a boy. And the good fairy turned Pinocchio into a real puppet. A living puppet. And so here he is made of wood. Well, he wants to become a real boy so badly. And the good fairy says to Pinocchio, now you be a good boy, and one of these days, you might just be a real boy. Well, Pinocchio gets tempted with some things, and he gets caught in some trouble, and he's asked about it, and he lies. And when he lies, his nose grows a little bit. And he lies again to cover up the first lie, and his nose grew some more. And he lied again to cover up another lie, and his nose even grew more. And of course, here you see Jiminy Cricket, which is supposed to be his conscience, reading him the riot act about his nose. Well, you know, it would be interesting, wouldn't it, if we lied, our nose would grow? Or maybe our ears would just kind of get like elephants or something? I mean, it'd be amazing, wouldn't it, if there was some evidence. But it doesn't work like that, does it? Think about some of the great deceptions that occurred in times past. Do y'all remember the Trojan horse? The city of Troy could not be breached. The walls were so thick and high. The gates were so strong. Nobody could get into the city of Troy. And so the Greeks finally came up with a deceptive plan. They built this wooden horse, and a group of the best of their soldiers, their elite, were hiding inside. And when the gift was brought into the city, you know, who left us this gift? Let's bring it in. They bring it in. They go to bed for the night. The guys sneak out. They kill the guards, open the gates. The Greeks storm the city, take the city of Troy. That's the legend of the Trojan horse. And then, have you ever heard of the world's greatest liar competition? the world's biggest liar? Well, it was won 7 years in a row by Johnny Liar Graham in Cumbria, England. This competition has been going for more than 100 years, and he is the leader. He is the all-time leader, winning it 7 times in a row. I don't know that you could believe whatever came out of this guy's mouth. I just don't know. Maybe he's lying about winning it. I'm not sure. Because you can't ever tell about a liar. And then, of course, how many of you ever saw that movie, Catch Me If You Can? It's based on a real-life character, Frank Abagnale. Frank Abagnale was very famous as an impersonator. And during the time, this happened 40 years ago. And during his time between the ages of 16 and 21 years old, when he was finally caught by the federal agent that Tom Hanks played, this man posed as an airline pilot, an attorney, a college professor, and a pediatrician. And he pulled it off. And during the meantime, he managed to cash over $2.5 million in forged checks. And he did this in every state in the union and 26 countries around the world. This guy did it all between the ages of 16 and 21, and that's when he finally got caught. You know what he does now? He helps with fraud protection. He works with the United States government in helping detect fraud. And if you'll note, some of these pens that you use for check writing that can't be washed, see, that's what he would do. He would wash checks. So he developed the ink. This Frank Abagnale developed the ink that is used in these fraud-resistant pens that you can use for writing your checks with. So, I mean, his signature, and he developed a business based on this after he got out of jail, of course, okay, for doing all his dirty dealings. So lying is just, you know, it's part of it. My question is, have you ever believed a lie? Has somebody ever fooled you? I know that I have, and when I've been fooled like that, when I believe somebody's telling me a lie, it makes me feel real foolish. Sometimes we're deceived by people. Folks that have no problem lying, okay? People that have no difficulty telling us things that, they just, things they want us to know, things they want us to believe. And they will lie to us and deceive us. Now, here's another question. Have you ever lied? Have you ever lied? Now, don't lie. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where it's a lot easier to lie than it is to tell the truth. The Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. One of the foolish things that's bound up in the heart of a child is to lie. It's natural for children. They're going to lie. Unless they're taught better, they're going to lie. To get out of trouble, to keep from, you know, I didn't do it, he did it. And he didn't do it. Really, he did it. But he's trying to get out of trouble. And so that's a natural thing. Well, you know, we're lying, yeah, but a little white lie, we call them, you know, to avoid telling the truth. But you know what the Bible says about lying, don't you? I mean, it condemns it. In our text this morning, Jesus is letting these people know that if they lie, he's letting them know you're of your father the devil, who is a liar, the original liar. They claim that Abraham is their father, but Jesus reveals who their real father is. You see, the devil is the father of lies, okay? He is the father of all lies. And since the Pharisees would not accept the truth, Jesus pronounced upon them that they were of their father the devil. Does this mean that whenever you or I tell a lie that we are somehow children of the devil? I mean, maybe it would help us not to lie if we picture in our mind that if we're tempted to tell a lie that we could see the devil down in down where he's at, you know, cheering us on, saying, way to go, boy, way to go, girl. You tell it. I'm proud of you. Maybe that would help us. We know how God feels about lying, don't we? The Bible makes it very clear. 1 John 2:4, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. The truth is not in him. In John 2, verse 22, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. In 1 John 4, 20, if someone says, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And then, of course, we know the six things the Lord hates, the seventh is an abomination to him. And two of those are a lying tongue and a false witness who speaks lies. Any way you look at it, liars will end up in the same place as the devil. And they will have the same fate as the devil. Revelation 21, 7 says that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which is the second death. So we need to stay away from lying. We need to stay as far away from it as we can. And now that we've been reminded how terrible lying is, I want us to look at six lies that the devil wants us to believe. All right? Six lies the devil wants us to believe. Number one, the Word of God is not true. He used this lie starting with Adam and Eve. The serpent is more cunning than any beast in the field, he says. And here Eve is, and Satan says, has God said not to eat of this? And Eve says, yes, God says we're not to eat of this tree. We're not even to touch it. The day we eat of it, we will surely die. And Satan says, oh, you will not surely die. Satan is saying that the Word of God is not true. And of course, Eve fell for the lie, hook, line, and sinker. And there are so many people today that have believed this lie as well. They don't accept or respect the Word of God. They don't accept it to be true. There's no need to follow what God said. There's no need to fear the wrath of God because God's word is not true. The devil is all about telling part of the truth, and he has no problem with us believing and even living by part of the truth. He just doesn't want us to live by all of it. Don't follow all of it. Don't believe all of it. Believe some, but don't believe it all. He doesn't mind if people call the Bible a book of love. He doesn't mind if they call it a good guidebook for raising a family, as long as he can convince people that the Word of God is full of errors and full of man-made stories. If he can convince us of this, he's got us. Because then we'll just pick and choose. There was a movement in the Southern Baptist Convention years ago. A big group of them were having this one position, and a big group were having another. They were divided. One group said the Bible is the Word of God, and the other group said it contains the Word of God. Well, can you see the difference? If it is the Word of God, you have to follow it. You have to do what it says, period. You don't have any argument. But if it just contains the Word of God, you can pick and choose. And if you like this law, you obey it. But if you don't like this one, well, this must not be from God. You see the danger? That's what Satan would have us to do. And you can see this in people. Satan would try to convince us that the Word of God is not true. Second, God will make an exception in your case. You know, you're special. You're important. God loves you, and He will make an exception in your case. You need to go by what you feel. You need to go by what you want. Because God loves you so much, He would never punish you in hell for eternity. You don't have to worry about that. Why? And this is an effect. This is one very effective lie from the devil. This is one of those that traps the good old boys. I don't go to church, but I pay my taxes, and I don't drink much. And on and on and on it goes. Achan believed this lie. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 21, when they went into Jericho, God says, don't you take anything. You destroy it all. Well, Achan took something, a coveted piece of precious metal. He took it and he hid it under his tent. And Achan explains when he was caught. He says, when I saw the spoils, a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them. And I took them. God says, don't take anything. This is mine. You leave it alone. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. Did God make an exception for him? Oh, no, he did not. Achan and his whole family were destroyed. Or did God make an exception for him, or did he make an example of him? I guess is the better way of putting that. And then there's Lot's wife in Genesis 19:26. What was her deal? Don't look back. What'd she do? She looked back. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Little boy said, after he heard that story, my mama looked back once and turned into a telephone pole. Anyway. Then there was Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus 10:1. They offered strange fire to the Lord. Did God take that serious? Did God make an exception for them? The fire's to come from this place, this source that God had started himself. They're to keep that fire going perpetually. All the sacrifices, all the incense, everything's to be burnt based on that fire. And they drew fire from some other source, maybe a campfire that was a whole lot closer. Who knows? But God did not make an exception for them. He made an example of them. And then in 2 Samuel 6, God did not make an exception for Uzzah when he reached up and steadied the Ark of the Covenant. Now, it's supposed to be carried on poles by the priest, but David has it on the back of a brand new ox cart with new oxen that have never pulled a plow, never done any work. And so here they are going down the road, and it's a bumpy road, and one of the oxen stumbles, and the cart nearly falls over, and Uzzah trying to save the Ark of the Covenant. He's trying to do a good thing, right? But he reaches up, and he does that which he's been forbidden to do. He touches the Ark of the Covenant, and God struck him dead. David was mad till he got his wits about him, and then he realized, oh, we did a bad thing. We have sinned against God. God does not make exceptions. Do you honestly think that God is going to make an exception for you? You can forget that. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonderful works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Satan uses this lie. God will make an exception for you in your case. Don't you believe it. Y'all remember that on that old cartoons, those old black and white cartoons? This guy gets into trouble and he ultimately dies. And then somebody says, wow, that must not have been so bad. And his ghost comes up out of the ground or something and says, don't you believe it. It was bad. He shouldn't have done what he did. You older folks remember that. You kids don't have a clue because there are no good cartoons anymore. I'm sorry to tell you. They're just not. Well, anyway, third one. You don't need really to go to church all the time. Just go sometimes. Everybody needs to go to church. Even the devil would agree to that. But you know the devil comes to church? I meant to do this. I meant to grab that devil puppet and set him up here. So y'all know he was at church. Ken brought him back today. He'd been borrowed by another VBS program. We got this amazing devil puppet. I mean, he looks evil, sinister, real classy looking. He's here. Satan's here. He goes to church. He really does. In fact, Satan goes to church more than some church members go to church. Ooh, boy. Did I just say that out loud? I meant to just think that. He goes to church, but he would try to convince us, you don't have to go to church all the time. Just go some of the time. He might say something like this. You only need to go to church every once in a while, maybe Christmas or Easter. That'll be good enough. After all, there's so many hypocrites in the church. I mean, come on, some of these folks out here got to be hypocrites. Some of them. And besides, just think of the rest you can get on Sunday after you've worked so hard all week providing for your family. Oh, and by the way, no one there really cares about what happens to you anyway, so you might as well stay home. Oh, and yes, you don't want to go back to Bible class on Wednesday night. That's just for weak-minded people. Besides, it's going to be really boring. You see, folks, the devil is foolish, but he is not stupid. He knows that if he can keep you out of church, he owns you. He knows that. He's got you. If he can keep you out of church, the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians 12 that the church is the body of Christ. And like that body, it needs every part to function properly. So if he can remove you from the body, the whole church is weakened. And Satan, of course, gets you too. Whenever we believe the devil's lie and we choose not to assemble with the saints on the first day of the week, we violate several of God's commands. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew 10:37, if you love father and mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of the week, let each of you lay by in store, that there be no gathering when I come. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another to stir up into love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as we see the day approaching. Brethren, the point of it is, Satan would have you believe you don't need to go to church all the time. Well, I got news for you. You do. You do. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what you're dealing with. But however often you come to church, it ain't enough. I don't come to church enough. Nobody does. We need each other. We need the strength. We need the encouragement. We need the fellowship. And we need to be coming before the Lord together. No, nobody goes to church enough. And the elders have seen fit for us to meet on Sunday morning at this time. But then in addition, on Sunday night and Wednesday night, if we are to submit to those that watch for our souls, those that rule over us, then that means we should be here too on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And as often as the church assembles, we need to be present for our sakes as well as for our brethren. No, don't believe Satan's lie that you don't need really to go to church all the time. And number four, following God's word is just too hard. And if you do, you're not going to have any fun. If you follow God's word, you'll have no fun at all. It's just so hard. And it's just wrong. He might say that if you live up to God's expectations, if you live the way God wants you to live, you are going to be so miserable. You're going to be the most miserable person around. Everybody else is out there having a great time, and you're stuck trying to be a Christian. That's what Satan would try to convince you. You think about all the commands that God wants to make you follow. Well, God's just a control freak. He wants to watch you squirm and struggle with all those commands because he doesn't want you to be happy. This is what Satan would try to have us believe. If God really loves you, he won't mind if you go ahead and enjoy some of the pleasures of this world just a little bit. You don't have to do a lot, but you need some fun. So have a little fun. Do a little bit. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. You know how sneaky the devil is, and Peter told us. He said, be sober, be vigilant, be alert, be aware, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:11, we're not ignorant of his devices. We know his tricks. We know what he does. And he tries to convince us that following God's word is too hard and it'll keep us from enjoying our life. It'll keep us from having any fun. Satan says life is really easy. It shouldn't be all that hard to be a good person. Just go along to get along. Look the other way. Don't sweat the small stuff. What harm could it do to do just a little bit? Take the easy way. These are the things Satan would tell us. You don't have to do it the hard way. You can take the broad road. Take the highway. Don't take this narrow path. Take the highway. That's what Satan would try to convince us to do. Now, there are times in the Christian life when it's going to be hard. But overall, a Christian is going to be a happier person than the people around him that don't follow God's commands. Psalm 144, verse 15, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Proverbs 16:20, he who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts the Lord, happy is he. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Folks, we can have all kind of fun as a Christian. We sure can. It's a fact. We can have so much fun. But what we have to realize is that people define fun in different ways. The devil would define fun the same way the world does. Drinking, fornicating, pornography, all of this is fun. This kind of sinful behavior, though, leads ultimately to broken lives and death. Now, sin is fun. Moses chose not to enjoy the pleasures of sin that last only a little while. Sin is fun or there'd be no money in it. But if we choose to ignore God's commands and we choose to have fun the way the world has fun, ultimately we will pay the price. We don't have to believe Satan's lie that living the Christian life is too hard and no fun. Paul says, I can endure all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. So don't believe Satan's lie. Living as a Christian is the most enjoyable life you can live. It is satisfying. It is a life of peace. It is a life of hope. It is a life of purpose. It is a life of direction. It is a life with a promise. Satan's life, the life he would have you live, is a life that's nothing but a lie. It's a sham. It's like the Wizard of Oz. You think this great, wonderful thing, and then you open the curtain and you find it's a little magician from Kansas. It's not real. It's just not real. So, following God's word is too hard and you can't have any fun. That's a lie. How about this one? There are many ways to heaven. Pick one. The devil wants you to believe that you can come to God any way you want to, as long as you do it from your heart, as long as you're sincere. We had a young lady in North Carolina, baptized her in a campaign years ago, and this young lady had the attitude, she had the frame of mind that as I don't have to go to church, and I don't have to be reading my Bible that much, and I don't have to be saying my prayers that much, as long as I'm helping people. As long as I'm helping people. This was her attitude. She is no longer a Christian in any form. I wonder if she still helps people. I guess she probably does. But she had no interest. She believed Satan's lie, that there are many ways to go to heaven. The devil wants you to believe this. He might say, worship at the church of your choice because one church is as good as another. He would say, don't sweat the details because there are many roads that lead to heaven. But many have believed this lie. Many have accepted it as true. And this is one reason why we have so many divisions, so many religious denominations in the world. Thousands who are teaching many different ways to be saved, many different ways to worship and serve God. And this is the complete opposite of what the Lord's Word declares. In 1 Corinthians 1, Paul says, I beg you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. Paul says, it's been reported to me by some people there in Corinth of the house of Chloe that there are divisions among you, that you are divided. And this is not what he wanted. Boy, he chewed them out good. In Matthew 7, 13, 14, Jesus said, it's a narrow gate. It's a straight gate, a narrow path that leads to eternal life. Few find it. Most people are going to take the highway. Most people are going to believe Satan's lie. Most people are going to lose their souls. Most people are not going to heaven. Are you listening? Most people are not going to heaven. Don't believe the lie. You can turn on the TV and you get the idea everybody's going to heaven. Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? It's a lie from Satan. There's only one way that leads to eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It is Jesus' way. He is the only way. There is only one way to come to God. There's only one way to go to heaven, and that's through Christ. And if you don't come through Christ, you don't go. You don't go. And finally, number six, you've got plenty of time. Oh, you got plenty of time. The devil had a meeting in hell one day. How do we deceive the people of earth? Well, one demon said, let's tell them the Bible's not true. And the devil replied, well, that will work, but only up to a point. That won't work always. Another demon said, well, let's tell them that Jesus is not the Lord. And the devil replied, well, that'll work again, but only up to a point. And an older demon said, let's just say that the Bible is the Word of God. And Jesus is the Lord. But let's convince the people that they've got all the time in the world to obey Him. Put it off. You don't have to do it now. The devil loved that idea. That's going to work. It will always work. And you know what? It always has. And it always will. Convince people they've got plenty of time. Convince them there's no hurry. Oh, you're just a young person. How old are you? I'm in my 20s. I'm in my 30s. I'm in my 40s. I'm in my 50s. I've still got plenty of time. I'm in my 60s. I've still got, look how old people are getting. Well, I heard of a woman that lived to be 121 years old. I got plenty of time. Maybe you do, and maybe you don't. Maybe you don't. You're just a young man, just a young woman. You don't have plenty of time. Do you know you're one day closer to eternity than you were yesterday? And you know what? Eternity could be at any minute. At any minute. You don't have plenty of time. Acts 24, verse 25. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." There is no indication in Scripture that Felix ever had a convenient time or that Paul ever appeared before him again. We don't know how much time we have. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." The devil lies about everything. He really does. He lies about God's word not being true. He says it's not, but it is. He says God will make an exception in your case. He won't. He says you don't really have to go to church all the time. You need to. He says that following God's word is just too hard. It's not. And you won't have any fun. Oh, yes, you will. He says there are many ways to heaven. There's only one way. And he says you got plenty of time. Brethren, time is running out. Death comes. Death comes. When you go play hide and seek. Anybody here ever play hide and seek? Yeah. Maybe I should do it the other way. Anybody here never play hide and seek? That would be more accurate. What's the phrase that you say after you count to 50 or 100 or whatever you count to? Now some say this fancy Ollie Ollie Austin free. What is that? No, it's ready or not, here I come. That's death. That's death. Death is coming. And it's coming sooner than you think. So, don't believe the lies of the devil. Please don't believe them. Listen rather. Listen to the truth. It is the truth that will set you free. And we will be free from the lies of Satan if we continue in God's word, if we continue to obey His commands. And so, my friends, I would encourage you today, if you have been listening to Satan's lies, don't listen any longer. Make things right with God before it's too late. Come to Him if you need to come right now as we stand and sing.